Salam dear listeners and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. With Bhagwan's grace, as we proceed in this journey of trying to assimilate the beautiful, profound words written by him many decades ago, today we are in the 18th chapter of Prema Vahini. If you are referring to the Telugu book, it is chapter 6. And this again is a very long chapter, just like the previous one. And here Bhagwan sets the stage in the first 2-3 paragraphs, and then it moves on explaining very deep concepts which are fundamental of spiritual understanding and of the path of bhakti. So we will listen first to Bhagwan. We will listen the first 3-4 paragraph, and by Bhagwan's grace, we have in the studios today also along with Sai Prakash, Brother Sai Giridhar, who is now working for the Sri Sathya Sai Center for Human Values, which is a part of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. So he's also with us for the discussion on this 18th chapter of Prema Vahini. So we'll pray to Bhagwan, we will listen to him, and then see how he guides this discussion.
పరమాత్ముడు సర్వాంతర్యామి సర్వభూతాంతరాత్మ అను వేదశాస్త్ర ఋషుల వాక్యములు నాటి నుండి నేటి వరకు సమముగనే నిస్సందేహముగనే ఘోషించుచున్నవి. సేవ్యునకు సేవకునకును సేవా నివేదార్థమైన ప్రకృతి ఈ మూడింటికి ఎట్టి సంబంధానుబంధములు కలవు అను ప్రశ్నలు వాదనలు నాటికీ నేటికీ జరుగుతూనే ఉన్నవి. పై చెప్పినట్టి సర్వాంతర్యామి అయిన పరమాత్ముని వెతుకనక్కరలేదనియు, అది కేవలం సమీపమందే ఉన్నదనియు భాగవత పద్యమును పరమభక్తుడైన స్వానుభవముతో ప్రహ్లాదుడు పలికినట్లు ప్రతి ఆస్తికునకు తెలిసియే ఉండును, వినియే ఉందురు. ఇందుగలనందులేడని సందేహము వలదు. చక్రి సర్వోపగతుండు ఎందెందు వెదకి చూచిన అందందేగలడు దానవాగ్రని వింటే.
The Vedas, the Shastras, and the messages of the Rishis all have proclaimed uniformly and without any possibility of doubt from that day to this that Paramatma is Sarvantaryami. He is present and immanent in everything. So too, questions like the relationship between he who is served, he who serves, and the wherewithal of service with Prakriti have also been subject of endless discussion. Every Astika or believer has heard the Bhagavata verse in which the great devotee Prahlada states out of his own experience that Paramatma, the Sarvantaryami, need not be searched far and wide, and that he is very near the seeker himself. He is here, he is not there. Give up such doubts. Listen, O leader of the Danavas, wherever you seek and wherever you see, there and there he is.
So brother, when you listen to what Bhagwan has written in this segment, as I was saying before, this is a long chapter and looks like Swami is setting the stage for what is to come. And whenever Bhagwan talked about the aspect of God being everywhere, often he would quote the example of Prahlada, isn't it?
In fact, the first verse or the first paragraph, I would say, of what Swami has said here, the Vedas, the Shastras, the message of the Rishis have all uniformly proclaimed without any possibility of doubt that Paramatma is Sarvantaryami. He is present and immanent in everything. If you look at the Narayana Upanishad, it says, Antar Bahishcha Tat Sarvam Vyapya Narayana Stitaha. Narayana is that which pervades both inside and outside of everything.
Yes.
And similar examples are there in the Vedas, especially in what is called the Vedanta, that is towards the end of the Vedas, or the goal of Vedas, which is the Upanishads, which is propounded by the Upanishads. And one such Upanishad which comes to my mind is Chandogya Upanishad, again, to give a reference to what Bhagwan is saying, where a great rishi who had direct knowledge of the truth, of the creation, His name was Sage Udalaka, and Sage Udalaka's son was Shvetaketu, who Swami had often referred to Chandogya Upanishad, and he had also referred to this discussion between Sage Udalaka and Shvetaketu, I think, in the Upanishad Vahini. And in the discussion, the son asks the father, that is, Shvetaketu asks his father Udalaka a similar question. He says, how do you say that God pervades everything? How is he imminent in everything? And Sage Udalaka takes him to a forest of Nyagrodha trees.
Yes.
And I really don't know what is the English botanical name for the Nyagrodha tree.
But similar to the banyan tree?
Yeah, I have always debated this similarity, but I have not been able to reconcile that. But nevertheless, it's in the Sanskrit name for the tree is called Nyagrodha. And he takes him to a forest of Nyagrodha trees, and there are seeds which have fallen from the fruits of the tree which were lying around. So the father Udalaka asks Shvetaketu to go and pick up a seed of Nyagrodha and come to him, and he does that. The father then instructs the son, break the seed. So he breaks the seed, and when he opens it, he finds four more seeds inside. So then the father instructs him, break it further. Okay, so he breaks those four little seeds as well. And now Udalaka asks Shvetaketu, what do you see inside? So Shvetaketu says, father, absolutely nothing. It's empty.
Mm-hmm.
And then Udalaka says, from this nothing, everything is emanated.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing means that it was not visible to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very subtle presence which was not visible to the naked gross eyes. And the father Udalaka said, from this presence or from this nothingness, everything has emerged. The whole forest of Nyagrodha trees have emerged from this,
yes,
what you call as nothing. Right? In this way, divinity is imminent in the creation that you see. And the second, very beautiful, the joy of going through the Chandogya Upanishad in understanding how Paramatma is Sarvantaryami is it uses very simple examples, day-to-day examples, but it kind of teaches the ultimate truth to the student through these examples. The other activity which the father, you know, you can see all the pedagogies kicking in even in the Upanishadic stories, where Udalaka was trying to teach his son who he really was. That was his fundamental question. And in fact, one of the four Mahavakyas, that is Tattvamasi, out of Aham Brahmasmi, I am Atma Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma and Tattvamasi, comes from the Chandogya Upanishad. And in fact, showing that emptiness, the nothingness from which everything had come, Udalaka declared, Tattvamasi Shvetaketu, that thou art. In fact, this is a concept which Swami further explains in this very chapter as we go down. These are all very key concepts to understand so that we progress further in our sadhana and in our realization. Coming back to the pedagogy that Sage Udalaka used to explain to his son, he asked him to bring a bowl of water and a fistful of salt, right? And when the son did that, he told him to mix the salt in the water, right? So he mixed it, and you know, obviously the salt dissolved in the water. And now the father, who assumed the role of a teacher, told his son, where is the salt? Can you remove the salt? So the son was a great scholar himself. So he said, obviously I cannot because it is dissolved. He said, okay, now taste a drop of water from the north end of the pot. So he took and he tasted from the south end, the east and the west ends, from the center of the pot, mix it up. You know, he made him taste drops of water from various sections of the pot, right? So, after he did that, he asked him, what did you experience? Now, relate your experience to me. The son said, the drop of water, irrespective of wherever I tasted it from, was filled with salinity. It was saline in taste. Wherever I took the water from, he said. The father then, you know, further clarifies and says, but can you see the salt in the water with your naked eyes? He said, no, I cannot see the salt. But is it present or not? He said, yes, it is present. Is it present in one place or is it present everywhere? Omnipresent. He said, no, no, it is present everywhere. So, that is how the father taught the son, that God also pervades this universe in that matter. He pervades as the rasa, the essence, which is all over the creation, which pervades the entire creation, and of course is beyond that as well. As Purusha Suktam says, Padosya Vishwa Bhutani Tripadasya Amritam Devi, that is only 1/4 of the Purusha manifested in the form of this gross creation, but 3/4 is still unmanifest. But Udalaka's lesson to his son here was that God pervades every inch, every atom of this creation as the essence, though he is invisible. So in this manner, these are all references again to what Bhagavan has said in the first few lines of the 18th chapter here.
Yes.
Where the Vedas and the Shastras and the message of the Rishis,
yes,
have conveyed that Paramatma is really Sarvantaryami. He is present and imminent in everything.
Yes. In fact, I cannot but recall how Bhagavan used to always mention with a lot of emphasis this story of Prahlada, you know, how Hiranyakashipu asks, you tell me, is God there? Is God in this pillar? Is God in, yes, that pillar also? And the way Hiranyakashipu asks and the conviction with which Prahlada says, yes, he is there. And is he there in this pillar also?
Yes.
You know, I think that is a very, very significant moment. I mean, it is there in our scriptures, but just reminding us again and again that he is there, imminent, even in the inanimate, the so-called inanimate. There is nothing that is actually that way inanimate, that way, because he is there, present in everything.
Yes.
There is nothing that is not breathing in the universe, and everywhere he is there.
In fact, in Tamil, the famous saying of Prahlada, which, you know, our grandmothers used to,
yes,
tell us when they narrated the story of Prahlada, they would say, Thoonilum irupar, Thurumbilum irupar, which means he is there in a blade of grass, and he is also there in this pillar,
yes,
at the same time, you know.
Yes.
So he is really present in every atom of the entire creation, and we are so grateful to the rishis of the ancient times, because not only did they directly experience this, because further down Swami talks about why this should be a direct experiential wisdom and not, yes, an imaginative aspect alone.
Yes.
So, they not only directly experienced, but they made it so simple for us. Like say, Prahlad Maharaj in Bhagavat has, not only he lived that life with that conviction and experienced that Lord Narayana was there everywhere. You know,
I mean, if you look at all the stories.
Thrown from the cliff,
yes,
you know, and then he was saved by Lord Narayana because,
yes,
he was so confident that,
yes,
my Lord is there everywhere.
Yes.
At the end, I am only going into his lap.
Yes.
So he was thrown into the ocean and he was still confident. He was thrown,
yes,
into fire. So this is not ordinary confidence we are talking about. It's,
yes,
a deep conviction,
yes,
that comes with experience.
Yes.
Right, and Prahlada had that kind of a tremendous conviction.
Yes.
That Lord Narayana pervades every single
atom. Through that story of Prahlada and through all the tests that Prahlada went through, being thrown from a mountain or thrown into the ocean or harmed by wild animals, put in fire, you know, through every instance, Swami is giving that message that he is there everywhere. Are you talking about forest? Are you talking about mountain?
Yes.
Are you talking about fire? Are you talking,
yeah,
about water? Are you talk about the elements? You talk.
Yeah, incredible. In fact, all the elements.
All
are,
the elements.
Just striking me for the first time, really.
Yes, exactly.
Almost.
All the elements
have also been,
yes,
kind of covered here.
Elements, animate, inanimate animals,
yes,
snakes, everything he went through, and everywhere he was protected.
Mm.
I mean, through just that story, Swami has so beautifully conveyed that, you know, you don't need any other story to tell you that God is there. And Narayana means the one who is present everywhere. I mean, that is the literal meaning of,
yes,
the word Narayana.
Yeah.
Vishnu.
Yes. Vishnu means one who pervades everything.
Yes.
Narayana means, see, plural of Nara is Nara.
Yes.
Which means Prakriti, that is,
yes,
the entire creation.
Yes.
One meaning of Narayana is one who is the fundamental basis.
Correct.
Or who is imminent,
yes,
in the entire Prakriti. That,
yes,
is one,
yes,
meaning.
Ayana.
Yes.
You know, Nara Ayana.
Ayana.
You know, who rests on
every living being.
Yes.
I mean, that is what
he's
is Narayan.
He's the substratum of everything.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. I mean, so, the story, that's why, of Prahlada is so very significant. In fact, Bhagwan used to also mention about that Telugu saying, remember, Natteta Padi Unna, whether you are there in the deepest of forest, yes, or whether you are there in the mountains, I'm always there.
There
I mean,
you.
God is
yeah.
there all the time with you. Of course, there are so many instances that each devotee has experienced, but I mean, this is what Swami starting this 18th chapter with. I think this is a very, very fundamental premise, a fundamental understanding, because I think only if we get this in its entirety, then we can understand what Swami has further mentioned in this chapter, isn't it?
Definitely. And
there's an interesting observation which just occurred to me.
Yeah.
That is, here Swami starts off by saying that the Vedas, Shastras and the Rishis have all proclaimed uniformly. So, they are proclaiming that the Lord is Sarvantaryami based on their experience.
Yes.
So, here this whole concept about faith versus experience comes into play. They have experienced
yes.
that the Lord is all-pervading. But it's very interesting because even the example that you told from the Upanishads, where he's giving his son the experience of salinity of water, but he's not giving him the experience of all pervasiveness of God. He's giving him an analogy. He's giving him an analogy which is in the realm of his senses, which enables him to understand the concept that God is all pervasive. So, I think it's something very interesting because the experience is at a subtler level which is beyond the explanation of words. So, all you can say, like the Rishi said, God is all pervasive. How God is all pervasive? How can I experience God all the time? That you have to experience yourself.
Yes.
So, you know, that you have to grow in faith
yes.
and you have to grow in conviction. And then if your faith is like Prahlada, for example,
yes.
then in your daily life when you have an event, when you need
yes.
your strong conviction itself will take the form of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Your strong conviction itself will manifest in the form of the Lord. So, I just felt that there is a very interesting point, which is that, you know, you have to have that faith and conviction, which is still in the realm of your senses. Like, you feel that, yes, God is all pervasive and you have to believe it.
Yes.
And when you believe it, your belief should be so complete that even if your eyes tell you otherwise, even if your tongue tells you otherwise,
yes.
even if your ear cannot actually give you that experience, still you are steadfast in that faith. And only then you will have an experience which is, again, beyond the realm of explanation. What
yes.
do you think?
Yes.
In fact, further down this very chapter, Swami kind of makes this process very evident, where Swami says, that, see, fundamentally, God, as he said, cannot be articulated, the divinity in its original sense cannot be spoken about, cannot be articulated. In fact, there is a very specific sentence where Swami is telling that, or reiterating, I would say. But then, Bhagwan says, see, you have to start at some point. So, that point possibly could be where you are giving attributes to the attributeless.
Yes.
And of course, it has happened in the sense that the absolute divine has also come in the form of avatars.
Yes.
You know, assuming attributes so that the devotees get the joy of being with divinity. And along with the joy of being divinity, they also get the opportunity to know what true divinity really is.
Yes.
Because as Swami would often describe this, saying that he is the lion who has come in our dream,
yes,
you know, to roar and awaken us from this dream, right?
Mm.
So, the avatar plays both the roles. But in the beginning stages, it is important that Swami describes a three-stage process of how you get attached to the avatar. You know, he says Priya, Moda and Pramoda,
yes.
right? And Swami talks about it saying, see, first Priya means you look at the beautiful form of God, and you feel attracted
yes.
to the form. Okay, so you're really attracted and there's a magnetic pull towards the Lord. And then there is modam. That is, moda means you put some effort to make him pay attention to you as well. You know, this is a very typical thing which many of the devotees and the students would do.
Yes.
You know, they would do something for Swami, they would put plays, dramas,
yes,
or they would sing beautiful songs, what not. All kinds of sadhana, all kinds of expressions they would do of their love to gain Swami's attention, you know, to become that form boy,
yes,
which is the, you know, the parthi lingo,
yes,
to become close to Swami. And finally, when they actually get that proximity of Swami and enjoy the bliss, it is called pramoda. So, in fact, Swami goes all technical in a summer course discourse in 1973, where he talks of how if all the three happens, priya, moda and pramoda, together if they happen, it is called kutastha. Kutastha means it is a state of mind where the bliss lends equanimity to mind itself. So, we all know that when we go close to Swami and experience the sweetness of His darshan, sparshan and sambhashan, somehow at least for that, temporarily it did give us a sense,
yes,
of equanimity. Nothing in the world really mattered to us, you know, worldly joys and sorrows did not affect us as,
yes,
much as it would do, because we were really reveling in the love of,
yes,
Bhagwan that He would shower on us, you know. So that, of course, Swami says is the first step. And that also, I don't know, possibly we will go to that,
yes,
point in the Vahini series.
Yes, what you are mentioning about, you know, this Priyam Modam and Pramodam. Actually, Swami mentions not those terms, but He mentions the process.
Yes.
In this same chapter towards the later segments of chapter 18. But if we see this first segment, here He is focusing on the idea that God is everywhere, Sarvantaryami and Sarvabhutantaratma basically. And of course, there is one interesting thing that Swami tells here. He says, so the questions like the relationship between He who is served, He who serves and the wherewithal of service,
correct,
Prakriti,
mm-hmm,
have also been the subject of endless discussion, Swami says. So this is one premise of God being there everywhere. And the second thing Swami says, which we have to deliberate on,
yes,
and which He unfurls further as we go on in this chapter, is who are these three entities?
Correct.
He who served, who serves and the service. And so if you see, these are the two central ideas of this first segment.
In fact, as you very nicely put it, here Swami has kind of declared the truth as it is, that is, Paramatma is Sarvantaryami. He is the,
yes,
very basis and, you know, the substratum of the whole creation. Then He talks of the issues,
yes,
not issues rather, but something that we need to do mananam on. That is, who is the one whom we ask? Because the Satya Sai Seva organization predominantly is a Seva organization, right? So, it is meant for service. So, then the question comes, who is serving, who is being served, and what,
yes,
is this act of service itself?
Yes.
And this takes me back to, in fact, Swami uses the word prakriti here for,
yes,
the act of service. That is, what is the nature? Prakriti means nature of service,
yes,
or,
yes,
the bhava behind the service. When the Gram Seva was initiated in Prashantinilayam by Bhagavan, after the first few years, see, we see that the end goal of Swami's activities, whatever be it, bhajans, be it Vedam, be it, you know, the seva activities or the study circles, all the activities of the Satya Sai organization, at the end of the day, Swami has structured it for various levels of devotees, levels of sadhakas,
yes,
so that all might sojourn to the same goal,
yes,
which is Paramatman, right, the realization of God immanent in everything. But it is beautiful how He creates these practices. As Brother Sai Prakash was saying, obviously not everybody is reveling in the experience of this immediately, right? So there has to be some kind of a starting point.
Yes.
And the way that Swami builds these, I would call them as potentialities,
mm-hmm,
you know, where He throws you into a potentiality where if you are open to,
yes,
the experience,
yes,
it can change your life. It can,
yes,
completely transform you, right?
Yes.
To realize the divinity that is immanent in,
yes,
everything. One such activity was Gram Seva.
Mm.
And The process was very simple. Swami's prasadam was prepared here in Prashantanilayam. Students would take it to the villages, to the doorsteps, and very lovingly inquire about how many people are there in the house and tell them that Swami had sent prasadam. And then, you know, just share the prasadam with them. Obviously, the prasadam is not funded or manufactured by the students, and they are only delivering the prasadam. So, it kind of removed any sense of doership or feeling that I am giving something to somebody. So it's a amazing masterstroke there to start with. Because Swami had told so many times that, see, the fundamental of seva is you should not feel you are giving something in the first place. And what a masterstroke when he, you know, did this. That is one thing. The critical aspect which pertains to who is serving, who is being served, and the prakriti or the nature of service, you know, how it should be. I was overwhelmed when we, you know, heard this from our elders. Swami called the elders who were, you know, managing the program, Gram Seva program. And he gave them an instruction. This, I think, was in the third year or fourth year of Gram Seva. I'm not very sure, but it happened after a few years. Once we got used to the process and, you know, we were doing it well. Then Swami said, tell the boys and the teachers that when they go to the villages and serve, they should constantly remind themselves and chant. Om Satchitanandaya Namaha while they serve. This is Swami's direct instruction. He said all the students and teachers should chant Om Satchitanandaya Namaha and then give the prasadam to the recipients. In fact, I also remember that the Gram Seva happens during the Dashara celebrations. So, Swami would give discourses every evening.
Yes.
One of the evenings, around the time when he gave this, when Swami gave this instruction, he explained in the discourse, he said, see, the only true name of God is Satchitananda.
Yes.
Right? And further down, you know, we'll have to refer to the subsequent portions of the 18th chapter because everything comes in this chapter. Yes. So beautifully Swami has explained. So, Swami tells that, see, you may give various names based on your physical understanding of Krishna, Rama, everything, right? But the original and the real name of God is Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means He is the presence.
Yes.
Easiness, pure existence.
Yes.
Chit, He is the awareness. Ananda, He is the bliss when you have the awareness of the existence. So, these are not three, but it's just one.
Yes.
Right? So, Swami gave this instruction that when the student or the teacher, the devotee goes to the doorstep to serve, they should have this bhava, the prakriti or the nature of service should be that they remind themselves that the one who is serving is Satchitananda, the one who is receiving is Satchitananda, the process of service is also Satchitananda.
Yes.
So, there is nothing other than divinity in this process.
Yes.
So, what a powerful reminder in practice. You know, so these are the potentialities that Swami creates when He, you know, creates service activities or various other activities through the Satya Sai Seva organization. So, that I think kind of captures this particular sentence of Swami.
In a way, it is like, how do you put that theory into practice?
Yes, exactly. Yes,
absolutely.
The theory is accepted.
Yes.
But in practice, how do you put it?
Yes.
By constantly reminding yourself.
Yes. In fact, you know, I think that's what earlier also we have seen. Everything that Swami has written, the best way to understand is to look at the institutions that Swami has set up.
Exactly.
You know, you find elaborations and illustrations of everything that Swami has mentioned being practically applied in everything that Swami has created, the institutions especially. The other aspect here of prakriti, you understood the aspect of prakriti as nature, as bhava. You know, that is, you know, Sanskrit we know has so many meanings.
Yes.
But the other way also of looking at it, because, you know, whenever Swami has referred to this, in this chapter Swami has always used the word prakriti. This another understanding could be not the nature in terms of the feeling, but referring to mother nature, prakriti.
Okay.
So here, because, you know, as Bhagavan goes on, He refers to these three entities that we are talking about, He who served, He who serves, and the wherewithal of service. Swami draws the parallel to the jivi, to the Paramatma
and Prakriti, which is the concept of Vishishta Advaita.
Exactly. So all that also comes in. Hmm. So that Prakriti here can be understood in so many ways.
Yes, even in that angle, if you see, the fact that the way Prakriti is represented in the Gram Seva is in the form of the Annaprasadam, that is the food itself.
Exactly.
Because food is nothing but nature. Prakriti itself.
Prakriti,
you know,
yes,
nature.
Yeah. So the wherewithal of service is the nature.
Yes.
You know, so that is another very beautiful way of looking at it.
Hmm.
And of course, Swami explains that further as we go on in this chapter. There is another very interesting anecdote, you know, when we are talking about the Sarvantaryami, just comes to my mind. Many years ago, just before Swami was about to come out of the Trayi Brindavan, Bhagwan's abode in Bangalore. So what happens is there is this boy, his name is Venkatesh Prasad. He was sitting in front of Trayi. In those days, you know, boys had the chance to really sit right in front of Trayi. And one devotee was sitting next to him, very senior devotee, and this devotee, many times Swami used to also call him as Hanuman. He was a devotee who was really very well respected there. For some reason, this devotee asks Venkatesh Prasad, "Tell me, how does Swami know everything?" And Venkatesh did not really want to have any conversation at that point in time, you know, because Swami is expected at any point in time, you don't want to talk there. And how do you answer this? He had no idea, just a student. And he says, "I don't know, sir, Swami is Sarvantaryami." And that person says that Swami says he is Sarvantaryami. How do you know? So he says, "I don't know." No, you tell me, how do you know that Swami knows everything? And so again, Venkatesh is clueless, and you know, he says, "I have to say something to, you know, just end this conversation, because you know now the discussion will go on." He says, "Sir, Swami is God." And that person says, "That Swami says that he is God. How do you know?
How do you know?
How do you know that he is God?" And again, Venkatesh was clueless. And finally, he thought, "I have to do something so that this conversation ends." He said, "Sir, I don't know. You tell me. You tell me how Swami knows everything." And then this person says, "Have you seen in our old calendars, they would have this picture of Mahavishnu. And inside that picture of Mahavishnu, there would be everything inside that actually. You know, you will have this Mahavishnu with 20 arms and with so many heads, and there will be a cow in his stomach, you know, there will be something else in his legs. And so there will be different animals, plants, everything will be there inside that picture." So he said, "What is that?" He says, "I don't know, it is Virata Swarupa of Vishnu." So he says, "You know, do you understand what the artist was trying to communicate through that imagery?" He says, "I don't know, maybe because just everything is there in God." He says, "See, if everything is there in the body of God, then if a ant bites your leg, then automatically your eye knows, right, isn't it? Automatically your hand knows it, your eyes know it, your skin knows it, everything knows. How? Because everything is connected. Because it is just one being." So you say, it is the same with God. The whole universe is just the body of God. So, and that is the reason why he knows everything, because he doesn't have to make an effort to know anything. Because everything is happening, just like, you know, we don't have to make an effort to know that there is a thorn that has hit the foot. You don't have to make an effort. It just happens automatically because it is just part of you. So he says, that is how it is with God. That's how it is with Swami, and that is why he is Antaryami. And the interesting thing is, the moment he finished explaining this, the door opened and Swami came out. And Swami stood right in front of Venkatesh Prasad. And Swami told, "Tisko, take namaskar."
Take namaskar. Beautiful.
I just felt that this was, you know, really, I mean, there are these moments when you are actually living with the Sachidananda Swarupa, when he gives you glimpses of those understanding.
In fact, there was one student who was very naughty. As most of us are, usually. So, what he did was, he would go to Trayi sessions in Brindavan during the vacations. And after the darshan and everything got over, he would go back home, which was somewhere in Whitefield. And he would watch his favorite movies, right? So, One day he did that and he came back next morning and Swami said, I know what you were doing yesterday, you know, so he got the hint. And he realized that Swami is aware of the fact that he was watching a movie in his residence while Swami was in Trivrindavan, right?
Yes.
So, next day, he was relentless in watching his movie.
Okay.
So, he continued to watch and he was trying to figure out how did Swami come to know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, he looked here and there and he saw that there was a calendar on which Swami's photograph was there.
In his room.
In his room.
In his room, okay.
Right? So, he thought that, okay, so Swami must be looking because he says that, you know, if you set up my altar or my photograph is there.
Whatever my photograph is there, I am there.
Yeah, I am there.
That feeling.
So, all these feelings were, you know, coming into his mind and he felt, okay, so Swami must be watching me through this calendar. So, he, you know, turned the calendar around and then continued watching. And next day when he came for darshan, Swami just told him, Swami is not just in the calendar, sir.
In fact, there is another similar instance. This boy who had gone home and he went to a theater. And, you know, that always that guilty feeling was there of, because Swami had told specifically to him actually, that
he should not watch movies.
In fact, there are so many instances related to this. I mean, he comes from a family which was into the theater business.
Oh, okay.
And they had so many theaters and you know, he was really addicted to watching movies. And when he goes home, Swami tells that you don't watch movies and it was, every time it used to happen that if he starts to go for a movie, something will happen. His car will break down. Or once he went to the theater, the power went down in the theater. But then he thought, no, maybe these are just coincidences. So finally, one day he goes to the theater and then, you know, he suddenly remembers as the movie is going on that there is this photo of Swami in his pocket. And that photo, you know, was facing the movie,
the screen.
And so immediately he takes that in middle of the movie and he changes the side, you know. So he keeps the face of Swami towards him, you know, as if it's like, Swami, you know, now you need not watch. And when he comes back, Swami says, what is this? You showed me only half the movie. And but of course, after that, but Swami's instruction to him was very clear that you should not watch. But many years passed and he could not watch. And after that he got married. Then he thought, okay, now it's okay. You know, I can just probably go. I'm in a different stage of life and all that. But even then, when he tried, he says, even now till this day, even his app on the phone, if he tries to watch a movie, something will happen.
That's but, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he was trying to, you know, in so many ways, in the extent to which God goes to ensure that.
You know, coming back to the point which Sai Prakash was saying about, you know, developing this faith. Like, say, for example, if you have this faith that Swami is watching you all the time.
Yes.
Okay, this is one thing again that can completely transform your life. Right?
Yes.
So, coming back to the idea of faith and, you know, seeing God, like Swami refers to the poem which Prahlada sings in order to remind his father that wherever you seek, wherever you see, you will find him, right? Of course, before I get to this, it just struck me, interestingly, in the Chandogya Upanishad, where the father Udalaka gave the example of the omnipresence of God through the salt and water, he actually only gives his son six examples. And at the end of each example, he says, Tattvamasi Shvetaketu. Right? So like this, just as the salt is immanent in the water, God pervades the entire creation, that thou art, such divinity is your real nature. Tattvamasi Shvetaketu. Only six times he gives six examples and says Tattvamasi Shvetaketu. At the end of the sixth Tattvamasi Shvetaketu, they were not mere examples because the Upanishad says that Shvetaketu realized who, what Tat is. Means he realized who he is at the end of the six examples which his father gave. So anyway, coming back to the aspect of faith, that is the basic stage of spiritual practice. Swami gives a very interesting story of how you know, our experience that God pervades everything changes with our, you know, idea of faith.
Mm-hmm.
There was one guy who had put up a Lakshmi's photo in his house, and he had heard that, you know, if you pray to Mother Lakshmi, everything will be conferred on him, all wealth and knowledge and everything. So he will be all successful, he'll be freed from all problems, all that, right? So it's a very hilarious story where, you know, this guy would go and he would buy flowers, he would decorate the altar and light incense sticks and everything.
Yes.
It was all going on well up to a point where he started experiencing failure after failure in his life. So when the failure was experienced by him, suddenly his faith shook.
Yes.
So he felt, no, this Lakshmi is not doing a good job.
Yes.
So he took the photo of Lakshmi and put in the cupboard and replaced it with Ganesha's photo and said, okay, let me try out Ganesha. Right?
Yes.
So he did the same thing. He would every day chant verses for Ganesha and put flowers and incense stick and everything. And things were going on well until the point where he experienced difficulties.
Yes.
So this time again he felt Ganesha is not up to the mark.
It's not powerful enough.
Powerful enough. So he took his photo, put it in the cupboard, and replaced it with Shiva. And you know, like this, he was going on and on with different deities he was experimenting and seeing. Until one day he, I think, just for example, he settled with the form of, say, Kartikeya. And I don't know the exact sequence which Swami said there. I'm just taking liberty here. But say he put the photo of Kartikeya and he felt, no, he's a warrior and, you know, peacock has his vahana, so he can instantly be here whenever I'm in trouble, whatever his feelings. So he was doing the same process of singing Skanda Shashti Kavacham for the Lord and, you know, of flower decorations and incense sticks. At this point, what happened is the dhoop, that is the smoke from the incense stick, instead of going towards Kartikeya, who was in the altar, because of the breeze, was being carried towards the cupboard in which all the other failed deities' photos were there. And it was going into that. So he felt, how dare they take up the scent of my incense stick while I am worshipping the champion Kartikeya, who is the only one who is protecting me, you know. So he went, opened the cupboard, took a piece of cloth and tied it around Ganesha's nose, tied it around Lakshmi's nose, you know, to say that you are not allowed to breathe in the incense stick which I am offering to Kartikeya. You have failed me.
Yes.
And at that point of time, Ganesha manifests in physical form in front of him and says, oh, so I have come for you. She says, ah, so now you have come, is it? Why have you come now? She says, at least now you felt that I am a living being and you felt this incense stick and the smell, the fragrance is actually coming to me and I am breathing in.
Yes.
So much so, you are so convinced about my
presence
being real that you tied a handkerchief around my nose. So when your bhava became perfect, obviously I had to manifest in front of you. You know, see, this is how the faith of human beings are.
Yes.
This is how they manifest the faith.
Of course, faith is such a profound topic, and I think, I mean, that is the bedrock of spirituality. And as we go on in this chapter, we have to first develop the faith in these two primary dictums, you know, that Swami is mentioning here. In fact, I remember a very beautiful definition of faith that, you know, once Dr. Sailesh Srivastava sir mentioned, which I've mentioned before also, but it's something, a very powerful reminder, F-A-I-T-H, fearlessly, always, I trust him. I think that's a very, very beautiful way to remember.
Acronym.
Yeah, to remember what faith is all about. So, possibly in the subsequent sessions, we'll take up the different other parts of this chapter 18. And interestingly, you know, just before we started this discussion, Brother Sai Prakash was mentioning how in this chapter, for the first time, the word prema appears. You know,
correct.
This is prema vahini.
Yes.
And we have started this series of discussions. Perhaps it is, Swami felt, this is the right time to introduce the word love after 17 chapters of deliberation on different concepts of spirituality. So definitely it's a very significant chapter. this 18th chapter of Prema Vahini in English, and if you're referring to the Telugu Prema Vahini, it is chapter 6. So there is definitely so much to unravel. So let us pray to Bhagwan that he guides us as we try to understand and benefit ourselves from these immortal words that Swami has written. Thank you so much, Brother Sagar, and we hope that you'll join us for the subsequent sessions as we spend time in this beautiful saga of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Thank you so much.
Sai Ram, Brother.
So dear listeners, with that, it's time to wind up this session of Vahini Satsang. So we'll continue in the next segment, and as I always make this plea, if you have this book, Prema Vahini, you can please download also from the website. You know, there's a website called vahini.org. I don't know who has done it, but it's a very beautiful site where they have the soft copies of all the Prema Vahinis. You'll also find it in the Book Trust website, ssbpt.info. You can download the English versions of these books which Swami himself has written, and spend little time to ruminate on them. If you have any queries, any questions, anything that you want us to deliberate on, please feel free to write to us. And if you know Telugu, then there's nothing like reading what Swami has originally written. This is a chapter 6 in Telugu Prema Vahini. So let's together spend our time and energy and resources on this, what is in fact the most important adventure, the most important activity, the only activity that is actually important in our lives. Thank you so much, Sai Ram.